This is without a net, where I grab a random prompt and then respond to it without having seen it before. So here's one. Cataclysm permeates our lives. Well, it does. And I've mentioned this before, but it has really moved me ever since I read this book. There's a book called 13 Moons by Charles Frazier. It's set in the 19th century, 1820s to 1900. The main, there's a love story between a man and a woman, which is okay. But the real love story is between the protagonist and the land. And when he first goes to the area, there are still wolves there. There are, it's still wild. And by the end of the book, it's 1900, and he lives next to a train tracks where big trees are sent east on the train every day, and tourists come west. And he talks about the loss in our own lives and how through all of time, ever since there's been mothers and fathers, so ever since there's been sexual reproduction, the children have generally outlived their parents. And so your parents die, and your older relatives die, and your friends die, and that's part of life. And it's a difficult part of life, but it's necessary. And on the other hand, what is new is the death of forests entire, or the killing of forests entire. We didn't evolve such that we would see a tree fall in the forest, but new trees would come up. We didn't evolve in a forest, and by the end of our lifetime, the entire region's been destroyed. That is, I grew up in Colorado, and one of the reasons I left in 1984 was that there were too many people, and it was way too crowded and getting built up too much. And I recently was in contact with some guy who moved there in the 80s, and then he had to leave in 2005 because there were too many people. And, his baseline was different, but it doesn't alter the fact that there were too many people. And this is something, I've said many times before too, is that people ask me all the time, where did your environmental awareness began? And it really began in second grade when they put in a subdivision next to where I live. And I recognized that, where were the garter snakes going to go? Where were the meadowlarks going to go? Where were all the ants going to go? The cottonwood trees. And so I recognized, I didn't have the language, but I recognized even as a kid that you can't have infinite growth on a finite planet. And going a slightly different direction, I find myself feeling resentful whenever I read a book that was written in the 19th century, because there were still salmon in the rivers when the person wrote the book. And when I watch a movie that's set in the 40s, I think the Columbia salmon were still holding on. And I just think, I was just thinking the other day about graduating from high school. And so it was 1979, and global warming was well understood. People like to say that the science is still not settled, or they like to act like it's something that's been understood lately, but it's been understood since the 19th century, and understood and described. And they taught it in physics in college, just as a matter of course. And it was just, this is what's happening, this is how it's happening. And I feel the same sort of sorrow that I feel when I read a book from the 19th century, when I think about myself in 1979. It's not because I knew less, but it's because things were better. I moved here 20 years ago, and in the last 20 years, I have, the first few years, there would be giant collections of harvestmen, daddy long legs. They gather together in the winter, and then they would make this area the size of a dinner plate that would stick out 4 or 5 inches. And if they would get nervous, the whole thing starts shaking. And I see maybe one or two harvestmen a year now. Every time I pick up something off the ground, I think that when I first moved here, if I picked up something, there was a 50% chance there'd be a rough-skinned newt beneath it. And I don't know the last time I saw a rough-skinned newt, literally 5 years ago. And I've talked to old-timers who remember being up in streams and creeks and ponds up in the mountains east of here, who back in the 70s would be in this and they would see literally hundreds of rough-skinned newts. And they would make jokes about getting, what's it called, exfoliation, that all the rough-skinned newts would come up and sort of poke at their legs. And I think the most rough-skinned newts I've ever seen at one time is a half dozen, and that was 15 years ago. And that's just to talk about environmentally, which is the most important. If we want to talk about people going crazy and porn culture taking over the world, don't talk about the internet taking over the world, we can do that too. But of course, the primary thing I'm concerned about is the physical world that, creatures who are really common when I was a kid, like tiger salamanders, are now endangered. And I mean, they were common. You see them everywhere. And I mean, everywhere in their habitat, obviously. And my mom, who died a year and a half ago, a year 14 months ago, she often said that she was glad she was dying when she did, because she didn't want to see what was coming. She had seen enough destruction of the planet. And but having said all this, I need to say that I read yet another essay yesterday saying it's too late. We just have to recognize that, we basically have to write off life on Earth. And that makes me really angry, because when people say that, it reveals an incapacity to love, or a lack of love of the natural world. Because imagine anytime anybody says it's too late to save the planet. So imagine anytime they say this, instead of saying the planet, say my children, or my friends, or my family, or my parents. And it doesn't work quite so well, does it? When they say, well, there's these killers who are killing my children, it's too late. You can't resist it. That's not what you do if you love. If you love, you take these cataclysms that are happening, and you use them to fuel. Actually, you don't need to use them to fuel, because the love that you already feel is what fuels them. And I say the same thing about when people write articles like that. If you don't want to make it about your family, make it about you. Oh, it's too late. They've already cut off one finger. They're going to cut off the rest. I'll just grieve their loss. No, you struggle. If you're a living being, you struggle. If you perceive it as a part of you, yes, cataclysm permeates our lives. So get up off the floor and do something about it. It's not going to be too late, as long as there's still one wild plant, one wild fungi, one wild animal.